Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Just a quick disclaimer about this week's episode. The audio got all fucked up, so we're using just the live stream audio, so the quality is subpar, mainly being it's just the Skype audio. This week we just did a power hour. We took paranormal calls, ghost stories from listeners and supporters of the show. And it was just me and Dan, as Braden and Andrew couldn't make it. But instead of doing nothing, we did something. So it's not terrible. It's just not as good as normal. So thanks for listening. Catch you on the other side. Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing Power Hour!
Spooky Power Hour!
Ooh. I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And that's all we got today. Short
crew.
That's
it. All right. Bye, everybody.
That's it. It's over. Now, Braden, it's Canadian Thanksgiving this weekend, so he is out with family.
Enjoying denim turkey.
And Andrew was doing the same, and then he had to go back to work, so he can't make it either. So instead of doing what we used to do, which is not do anything, we decided to do something.
We're professionals now.
We are professionals.
We have an obligation.
We make tens of dollars doing this.
Yes!
So we will continue to keep on keeping on. So what is the week? I think we're just doing a power hour. Spooky themed.
Right. I mean, we play right into that genre of spooktober, spooky stuff, paranormal, ghosties, poltergeists, apparitions, whatever you call them. That's always, I think, you know, I should have went back through the classifications of ghosts. I think it's somewhere. I'm not sure where it is, but if you had to classify ghosts, I know there's kind of, I guess, I don't know what to call ghosts. I know the ones that you can see. You call those technically like an apparition. And right. Then you have ones that you can't see, I suppose, just voices, things like that. And then, a poltergeist is a definite classification of ghost, right?
Right.
Like that, a poltergeist is one that can, you know, physically move something stuff. Or, you know, make noise, I guess.
Yeah. And, we put out the call for anyone who wants to call in. We have a number now. So people keep calling and the next person that calls, I'm going to answer.
We had somebody call and they left a message.
Did they leave a message?
That's what you said.
I know, but I didn't play. I don't think it actually. I think that it's like one of those hang up messages where nothing actually gets played.
Spooky.
Spooky edition. But yeah, ghosts, man, I love ghost stories. I've never actually had an experience where I couldn't explain it, but I love hearing other people's stories. Dan, you ever seen anything or felt anything?
Have I ever seen anything or felt it? See, the thing is, like with me, I can vividly remember at one place when I was little, probably about preschool age, maybe first grade. And then I remember when we lived in an old house. It was like a single floor house. And we used to have this couch that was in the front in the living room. And I remember one time looking under that couch, like lifting up, it had those little flaps and then little dust flaps at the bottom, and like I lifted that up and I remember looking under there and there was these two like bright yellow eyes just looking back.
bright yellow eyes.
Yeah, like we didn't have a cat. I didn't have a cat. Didn't have a dog. Nothing like that. And you know, and it's just like I remember lifting that. And I just had this vivid memory of just of seeing those two yellow eyes, and I was like scared to death when I was a kid. Like it just really, I remember that. But like, you know, you could chalk it up to either being just an imaginative kid is the way I was, or things like that. But I don't.
How big are eyeballs? We're talking.
Like I would say they were cat sized. Like I would say it would almost be like cat sized, like it were a cat. Not huge, not like gigantic. And there's no noise. I don't remember any noise with them or anything like that. But again, it's preschool age kid. I don't know. In my adult life, have I had experiences where I could say like, oh, that's something I can't explain? I personally haven't had any that I.
No, I've never had anything. Never anything supernatural. Like, but I've been camping before where you get that, like your hair stands up on end and you can feel something, but it's probably an animal.
A cougar.
Something just out of sight, but you know something's there. You're like, this is fucked. This, nope. Get a stick, big ass stick, pick it up, stick in one hand, rock in the other, just in case. Start smashing trees.
Smashing rocks together. Old cave, you know, the caveman technique.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that I don't believe in anything. I think some people have some crazy experiences. Oh, shit. We got a caller.
Phone calls.
Power hour caller. Let's bring him in. I don't know who it is.
Did they call the hotline? That's awesome.
Bringing them in. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
You're on the line. Hi. You're live.
On the line. Welcome to the show.
Awesome. I didn't think I'd get through. That's awesome. Hey. So you guys are calling for paranormal or ghost stories?
We definitely are. Spooktober. Ideally.
Spooktober.
Hell yeah. So anyways, my name's Shayna.
Hey, Shayna.
And I actually have like sort of a family ghost story to tell.
Family? Is a family of ghosts?
Yeah. No, it's actually a ghost that lives in my great-grandma's house.
Okay.
It's not a very old house at all, but growing up, my mom and my aunt used to stay over at her house with a bunch of their cousins and whatnot. And they had one room in particular that was sort of set aside for the children to stay in when they slept over until they started seeing this entity appearing in there. So essentially, it was just like this sort of black blob. It was sort of shaped like a human, and they could make out like a ball and chain around its ankle, and it would start in the corner every night at the same time and start to make its way towards the bed.
Crazy.
But it never quite made it to the bed,
some sort of formless black blob. But it had, did it have feet, or like was it a person?
Yeah, I mean, they said that they could make out like a ball and chain around its ankle. Uh-huh. So I'm assuming they could see enough of a definition of a human body that they could see that.
Okay.
So it'd start making its way to the bed. They'd start screaming. Lights would come on. Adults would wake up and come and see what's going on. But it got so bad that my grandma ended up turning into a storage room just to like pictures of Jesus and crucifixes all over it.
Smart move.
Right. and no one has slept in there since. So I don't know if that still happens, but, when I was like 7, I was visiting and, we had like watched, some TV show about haunted houses or something. So maybe this has like some sort of influence on us, but we stayed at the house, not in that same room, but we woke up to hearing, like scratching in the mattress. Shit. And it was like a sign of a haunting, but I didn't have any like entities come to me, but we just heard weird noises and scratching. So,
spooky. Definitely spooky.
Definitely spooky. More than I've ever heard or seen personally.
I give that 7 out of 10 spooks.
7 out of 10 spooks?
7 out of 10.
Yeah. Spooks. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I haven't seen anything since.
Did they say,
haven't
like,
really heard anything.
Like, did they say, like, were there any things like, you know, how people, accompanying apparitions and things like that. You have stuff like, was there a change in temperature at all? Do they remember that getting cold? Were there feelings of, you know, menace or any things like that? Did they, could they, that they describe to you or you've ever heard of?
They said it was a feeling of dread. But, you know, I don't know if that's like having an 8-year-old being approached by a large, dark creature.
Could be.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I mean, it's been sort of confirmed by a bunch of people in my family, and it's a story I've grown up listening to. So I'm like, one day maybe I'll be daring enough to go and stay in that room, but it hasn't happened yet.
I would never stay in that room again. That'd be it. I'd probably burn my house down.
You gotta bust out the Ouija board in a place like that.
Well, I would do it if we were recording and it was for entertainment. I would try it. I guarantee Andrew would not, but.
Andrew would run screaming out of the room in 2 seconds.
Yeah, you gotta go to the places you know there's something.
Exactly. All right. Hey,
heck yeah.
Thanks so much for sharing the story. That's I'm gonna put that in my nightmare bank and probably not be able to sleep for a while. All right.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Hey, thanks for calling in, being the first one on this Power Hour. I think you're like the third person to ever call this number. So,
really? Well, I'm from the state, so it wasn't even long distance.
Perfect. Awesome. Have a good one. Talk to you later.
Heck yeah. Thanks so much, guys.
Bye. Cool. When she called, your camera kept getting fucked up. Something to do with Skype. I don't know. It doesn't like interference.
That's true. Skype is weird.
Oh, internet. Shit. We got another caller.
Second caller.
Maybe I shouldn't have put on every social media network we had.
Now we're going to get this is going to be, oh, man.
It's a call-in show. Go. Oh, no, they hung up. They didn't stick around. They didn't stick around.
Drag race.
Anyways. Whew.
Super fun.
Know what's funny, Dan? Is we're recording this kind of now because my recording program crashed completely.
Groovy.
But I still have the audio from the video, so nothing we can do about it now. Might as well keep going.
Just keep on trucking. We're gonna keep going.
Keep going. What the 1 week with bad audio and two missing hosts.
We're doing what we can. We're running on fumes here.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Caller, merge them in. Who do we got? Hello. Oh, yeah. Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, Zell?
Who are we talking to?
This is Dustin from Washington, D.C., basically. Dustin Sound on all the handles.
All right. Close to Dan over there.
Groovy.
Yeah, what's up, Dano?
What's up? You're on a spooky Power Hour. So you got a ghost story or something for us?
I do. After these few recent events, I'm convinced my house is either totally haunted or something.
Okay, but, burn it down.
I'll try to be quick. Nope. I got three things.
Sounds good.
The first one that happened is me and my girl were watching a movie, and I have a surround sound, and I got to get up to turn it on, and it's next to a window. And my window is about 10 feet off the ground. It was about 1:30 in the morning. And both of us watched as our curtain pushed into my house like somebody was pushing their arm through my window, like a full arm's length. Yeah, so that's number one. That started it all. We have a rack in our bathroom that everything sits down about an inch and a half into it, and stuff is constantly falling out of it all day, up, down, bam.
Weird.
That's number two. But the third thing is what happened to me personally is I was up too late. And my girl was out, and I thought I heard her come home, so I was like, I better be asleep because she'll yell at me for being up too late, whatever. So I closed my eyes, I laid down, and I felt my bedroom door open. I felt her walk across the room and kneel in my face, and I thought she was going to, like, I don't know, kiss me or boot my nose or something. So I started laughing, and I opened my eyes, and there was no one there.
But I was
sure she was there, like, to the point where, I started laughing at the presence of the person in my face, and when I opened my eyes, she was nowhere there.
Oh,
that's fucked up.
So you own no pets? Do you own any pets? That's my first question.
I do. I have a pit. I have a pit bull, and but he was over on the other side of the house.
Okay,
in his bed, he was asleep.
Okay, and then man, spooky. Did you feel any change in temperature or anything like that? Any type of atmospheric disturbances when any of this stuff happened?
I started. I started looking for it after she, like, after I opened my eyes and there was no one there. I was like, okay, what are these signs I need to look for here? And the only thing I could really get out of it was my ceiling fan wasn't on. My blinds were just kind of knocking. Doot, 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 doot. But then they stopped. But I didn't get any, like, temperature change or nothing. I didn't get, like, real cold. I got, like, kind of emotional, not crying, but, like, you know, where all your stuff is, like, on height.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, you go into definite, like, fight or flight mode at that point. Something weird like that.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
How old's the house? Is the house that old or not?
It's been here at least since the 70s. I live down by the water. Okay. And it's like a little old beach cottage type deal.
Has anyone ever been killed in the house?
So that I don't know. That I don't know. But the people that rented it before me, I happen to know quite well. And they always had a name calling in the same area, like the bathroom connected to the bedroom. And they always said that somebody would, like, call their name. They'd say, huh? And, you know, no one would be home. To the point, you know, where they have to, like, answer it, like you actually heard something and you're like, oh shit.
Spooky.
Spooky. That's fucked up.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
Yeah, indeed.
That is fucked up. Better happen to you than me, my friend.
Yeah. Word up for that.
keep an eye on if it keeps happening. I recommend A, burning the house down. B, you can try an exorcism. I don't really believe in those, but you can try it. See,
no, I'm
get one
I'm
of those. What do they use? What are they using? Ghost hunters, the EMF meters. Get one of those.
Yeah, get those out.
Get the EMF meter. Get some technology. See if you can, you know, see if you can find out.
Good old fashioned Ouija board.
Oh, 100%.
I do have a Ouija board.
Play it. That's option C.
Board. And Dan probably knows there's a lot of Civil War stuff around our area. And I used to go EVPing and never really got. I got sleep paralysis, but never got anything productive.
Yeah, definitely. Virginia's a huge spot for Civil War stuff. If there's like, if every battlefield in Virginia, like I think most of the battles are actually a large amount, at least, for fought in Virginia. And you, like, if there's,
can feel the tension.
One place, yeah, like if there are one place like battlefields and things like that, like there's battles all over Virginia. And if it were some kind of ghost like that, I wouldn't be surprised. But then again, like, I don't think those kinds of spirits usually haunt houses or something. It sounds like yours is more like,
yeah,
a personal, of a personal nature. If it was enough to, like, go on your bed or something like that, like something that would be attached to the house itself.
Yep. Fucked up.
Right. Which is weird for me, cause I'm more into, like, maybe like extra dimensional things, maybe other than like a soul, like a lost soul. I'm not real into, but I may be like passing through or connected somehow. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel you there too. I don't really believe so much in, like, lost soul or like your essence trapped here, but maybe some type of,
it's your parallel dimension girl coming to say hi.
Yeah,
or
some type of quantum level stuff going through.
I've
here.
I've never been that lucky, so I'm not counting on that.
Is it cheating if she's from a different dimension?
Say that one more time.
Is it cheating if she's from a different dimension?
No, not at all.
No, there you go. All right, yeah. All right, man.
I'm making history, lady. All right, man. Hey, guys, thanks for having me on the show. Hey, I love the pod.
Anytime, man. We'll be doing more of these, so stay tuned.
Right on, definitely. Have a good night, y'all.
Thanks for calling in. Peace.
You too. Groovy.
Boom. Some good stories, actually. More than I was expecting.
This is turning out okay. I thought this would be a complete disaster, and I am pleasantly surprised.
New podcast. Just me and Dan taking calls. I have this chat feature in the live stream, but it's all, I don't know, this live, I try to use Restream and then it all fucked up and now all my settings are fucked up, but whatever. It's the way
where
the,
I'm trying to pull up, I'm technologically illiterate. Where am I pulling up? Do you have the link for the YouTube? I'm trying to pull up the YouTube so I can read the comments.
Oh yeah. I'll send you a link and I'll put it in Discord.
Yeah.
Or it's in, it's in Discord right now. It's in the, there's a Patreon link in there.
Oh, under what?
It's just in the Discord here. Here, let's put it in here. ATT text chat channel. There you go. Boom. That's where people are listening.
Oh, in the studio one. Okay, got it.
Yep. I'll do it there. Yeah, let's go through some questions. I don't know. What do we got going on in here? Let's go to the top. Do. Does this even work? I'm too far away. I can't read that. Anyways, two crazy stories.
Okay, I'm putting it in here.
Put it up. All right, to the live stream. What do we got?
Ah, I've done it.
He's got it.
Little Red Pig says, I love how happy Maester Daniel is all the time. I am pretty happy all the time. Because, I mean...
I've never really seen Dan upset, actually. Not even
spooky
a little
bit. Stuff makes me happy. Where's Mr. Conspiracy? It's a conspiracy.
Where's Mr. Conspiracy? He's only been here one time in 4 years.
He's, I guess, because we used to have Where in the World is Mr. Conspiracy. So.
He's back home in Canada working as a, some type of, I don't think he's doing carpentry, but he's, or no, he was doing timber frame houses, actually. But I'm not sure what he's doing right now. He's going to be on soon. We tried to have him on once, and then, I don't know, we're last minute, and he's busy, so if we don't get
Max him. Max asks, can I donate through YouTube? No, but can they donate through our...
On YouTube, if you go to the description, there's our Alien Theorist Theorizing.live. If you go to that, that's where the merch and the donate stuff is, if you want to go there. Mm-hmm. Buy yourself some sweet merch.
We do. Should plug that. We got winter hats.
We got winter hats, toques, and beanies. I don't know what the difference is, but they're all on there.
Well, the winter hat has the ball on top.
Oh, like the little pom-pom on top.
Has a little pom-pom on top. And then the other one is like a beanie. And then I don't know what the difference between the other one. There's one more, and I don't know what the difference is.
I know toque and a beanie. Like toque is Canadian, and beanie is either American, Australian, other places. But toque and a beanie are the same. I guess winter hat has the pom-pom. There you go.
I'm not down with pom-pom hats, but if you are down with pom-pom hats, that's the pom-pom hat.
Do you like yourself a pom-pom on your hat?
I don't like a pom-pom. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know. It's like it's just sitting
it
up there.
And it feels, especially if you have like a long toque, it kind of like weighs the toque down to one side also. And that's not no good. What else we talk about? Dan, you want to talk about what are some creepy places in this?
Spooky places. Zell and I went through our haunted North America trip. We were just figuring out what we could talk about on this Spooktober. So we, you know, talk about haunted places.
Why not?
One place that I find incredibly creepy, and I found I've seen in like multiple places when you type in most haunted places, this place always comes up, and it's called Isla de las Muñecas, which is a place south of Mexico City. And it's not so much all the information that I read about it, it's not necessarily haunted as it is like creepy. This is a small little island where over 50 years ago, a man named Don Julian Santana left his wife and child, he left his family to move into this small little island, which is on Texhuilo Lake and Xochimilco Canals. Now, some people, local legend has it that a young girl actually drowned in that lake, and Santana took it upon himself to honor her or mourn her, her soul, and a kind of, you know, super, probably in the most creepy and unnerving way that you could possibly imagine. He takes dolls and he kind of hangs them up all over the island.
It's so creepy.
And he doesn't clean up the dolls. He doesn't feel like he needs to clean the dolls or restore them in any way. People actually say that he's traded produce that he grows on the island for more dolls. People who I guess who have talked to him have said that he feels that this is a fitting way to kind of honor and appease the lost spirit of this girl. Even though he doesn't restore some of the dolls, the ones that he hangs up around the island, which God are super fucking creepy. Yeah.
Look at these fucking things. They're all over the trees, man.
It looks like fucking Sid from Toy Story's paradise. Like, that's where it is. You wouldn't want to be in the Toy Story universe on this island.
No. Oh, my God. Toy Story 5 coming up.
Toy Story 5.
Horror.
Nightmare.
Like, yeah, horror nightmare movie.
Apparently, the ones that he has, like, he has some dolls that he keeps in his cabin, and he also dresses these ones, or he had dressed them at some point. Julian Santana has actually died, and coincidentally, he drowned in that very same lake in 2001. So all of these dolls are just now just sitting on this island. Nobody really lives there.
He just died. Like he drowned on the island. He just drowned.
Drowned in the lake.
He was fucking drowned by all these haunted dolls, probably.
Yeah, fucking. It's just like we keep saying, like little kid ghosts and stuff are creepy, and dolls are also creepy. Brayden and I did an ATT confidential about haunted objects and dolls and shit, and you're just like, you mean that? Yeah, I don't want to go there. You can't get there. It's like you can get there. I guess it's like a four hour-ish drive from Mexico City, something like that. And you can get down there if you really want to go. Super fucking creepy.
You don't need
a bunch of dolls.
Nope. Something about dolls, man. Even like I remember as a kid, Chucky was, that was it for me. Chucky, when Chucky was on, that was the scariest shit for me when I was like 12 years old.
Scared just as shit. Fucking, like, I couldn't handle Chucky and alien movies, but Chucky was definitely on there. I couldn't handle Chucky. Like that shit's just dolls, creepy little glass eyes, and just like, you know, you have the. It was really about those like those porcelain dolls that always kind of creeped you out. The ones with like the eyes that open and close, and you know, you put them on a shelf, and then you put it on a shelf and the eyes are closed, and then you know something will happen. Maybe they get unstuck and then they flip open, and then you're just like, so I'm like, oh, no,
nope,
don't want that.
Not for us.
You know, I'm just glad I'm not a collector of porcelain dolls, but you do see a lot of people who are collectors and they have these huge rooms, displays of like these creepy porcelain dolls.
Yeah, and you want one that looks like this?
You know, I don't need that in my life.
Nope. Don't need that. Never, never, never.
The next spookiest place on our spooky list is the Queen Mary in California, which is actually a ship. The Queen Mary has been around for at least like 60 years, and there are reported to be over like at least or not over, but at least 49 reported deaths on the Queen Mary. Now, the Queen Mary has been around for a long, long time. It was kind of in between. Right before World War II, it was a luxury liner, and then it also became a troop carrier transport during World War II, and it actually carried more people on it than any other ship than any other ship in World War II. And so after that, it was retired, and they pulled it into one of the ports in California, and it is reported to be one of the most – it's voted at least – whoever voted that list, but a lot of places will call it one of the most haunted places in America. So people hold, ghost tours there, seances, all kinds of paranormal, you know, experiences or tours to kind of, you know, contact these entities that live on this thing. So some of the places that are reported to be the most haunted, one of the places is the engine room, which they say is a very active spot for paranormal activity. Now, I can personally say the engine room of a ship, when all the lights are out, is super creepy.
I could imagine, man, all those like groaning noises and.
Right. You have tons of pipes. You have noises and like everything just like, you know, sitting around. It's just it's super, super creepy and it's dark. Apparently, at least two people died. It crushed to death by one of the doors in this area. And so during one of the most recent deaths were during a watertight door drill in 1966, an 18-year-old crew member was crushed to death. And at the time he had been dressed in blue coveralls and he had a beard, probably not as great as mine, but he had a beard. And, this person, they say, have seen apparitions of this crew member, you know, walking through the ship or walking in the legs of shaft, what they call Shaft Alley. And Shaft Alley is which is also a creepy place in a ship, is where the kind of the screw of the ship, like the whole shaft from like the engine to the propeller at the end.
Right.
And all along there. Is all just like spaces that people have to go down to. I mean, when you're on a ship, like there are people who go down there and inspect it and stuff. I mean, I used to, here's a funny story involving Shap Dally. When I was in the Navy, I used to be I was the damage control watch officer. Like, I was in damage control central, and it's pretty much like you sit in there and you watch a bunch of lights and alarms and stuff like that, and, you know, fires, electrical outages, things like that. And one of the guys who is under me, we had to do some work during that day. It was our duty day, so we were on the ship. And I was like, okay, you got to go down and finish painting this area in Shaft Alley. And he's like, I don't want to go down there. It was like 3 in the morning. It was 3 o'clock or like almost midnight, about maybe 2 a.m. or something like that. And he's like, I don't want to go down there. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, why not? He's like, it's the witching hour, man. And I'm like, the fuck did you just say to me?
It's the witching hour.
I was like, you little fuck. And I was like, I know you just don't want to go down there to paint it. Like, it's not a good reason. Like, so I had to yell at him for like a good minute or something. I'm like, you go down there and you fucking paint that shit.
You little bastard, get down there now.
I can ruin you. But yeah, I was just like, it is a creepy place. Like, I won't deny that it isn't like creepy to go down there by yourself and like do work stuff down there. And, but I could totally see it, like, especially on like a decom ship or like a retired ship where there's no, you know, it's underwater. Like, those areas of the ship are like underwater as far as like the ship, where the ship sits in the water. So yeah, there's all kinds of creepy creaking and groaning noises down there. It's fucking, you know.
Now what's up I keep hearing about the haunted suite B340. Do you know anything about that?
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? And sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overrule. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Sweet B340. I haven't heard about that. Most of the other ones I heard, they concerned the pools.
Oh, it was a room a crew member was murdered in.
Ooh, really? And that would definitely produce ghosts.
There was something on that boat called a second class pool area. You weren't good enough for the first class pool. You're going to second class pool.
Yeah, it's like, we're second. We'd be second class pool.
No, I'd be third. I'm below that. I'm the guy. I'm probably sneaking on and staying. I'm probably staying in the engine
less
room.
Than second class pool.
Now I got a couple. There's some videos here that claim to show some shit. I'm gonna show it. I don't know. Until YouTube says I can't do it, I'm just gonna keep doing it.
Oh goddamn!
What's this? So this girl says she sees some shit. Let's follow it along here. That's only 6 years ago. Oh, I'm waiting to get scared. I'm waiting. It's like someone's about to like edit this video and put one of those just like demonic faces that just jump at you.
Yeah, this is that's bullshit. I hate it.
Nothing. Fuck it. Never mind. I thought I would see a ghost there, but I did not.
I know. Ghost hunting is always such a
disappointment.
Like, you want to do it, and usually most of the time it's really disappointing. That's the thing. It's like there's no – I wish there was like a a unifying theory of ghosts, but there's not. If you ask most paranormal experts, like if you ask 3 paranormal experts their opinion on ghosts, I'm sure you would get 3 different answers.
Yeah. You know,
as how, what is the best way to contact those who have passed on or those spirits that remain behind? What is a ghost? You know, what are the classic signs of a ghost? I'm sure you would get some of the ones that have, you know, that are pretty much, you know, ubiquitous pop culture things where it's like, oh, you know, you hear voices and you get cold snaps and things like that. You might get all that stuff. But it's as far as like how ghosts work, I think you would get 3 very different answers different answers from anyone if you ask anyone.
Yeah, that's it's a hard thing to really nail down because the proof is subject to personal opinion. I want to talk about this one. I didn't get to do the tour, but I was just in Portland, Oregon.
And
I wanted to do something called you go look at, it's like a haunted tour of, it was like under, like I guess underground Portland, there's a whole bunch of crazy shit that happened there. And these
things, that's right. Is it the Shanghai Tunnels?
Yeah, it's called the Shanghai Tunnels. And I guess in the early 19th century, it was common for these people to like get unsuspecting men from saloons. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the saloons had like fitted with like trap doors and shit. Get them wasted, yep. Pull the trap door, kick them down into the tunnels, drug the dude. Drag him to the waterfront, ship him who knows where for free labor, man. Or leave him for dead, depending on the fall, I guess. I don't know. But
right. And also, I heard sometimes they would take their shoes and then a lot of those – they would take their shoes and a lot of those underground tunnels, they would cover with broken glass so they couldn't run.
Oh, my God.
Which is fucking crazy. I heard that. I was like – I remember watching a documentary about that and they're like, yeah, they like take the – get you drunk – drop you down the trap door, take your shoes, you know, cover all the tunnels would be covered with, you know, glass bottles and things like that. So like you couldn't run away. You'd be unless you're John McClane. I mean,
then you just
die hard.
Fuck yeah.
And you just man through.
Imagine that you go have 7, 8, 9 pints and you wake up on a ship to Asia. Like
I've done that, but I was in the Navy.
You're in the Navy. Yeah. I mean, it was your ship.
You know, yeah, it's like we wake up there and you're just like, oh, fuck.
Fuck, what have I done?
Yeah. Every time I've been to Hong Kong, though, I've gotten blacked out at least once.
Yeah, I really wanted to do the haunted tour, but because it was off season, it wasn't running during the week. It was only like Thursday, Friday, Saturdays, and I was gone. I was leaving by then, so I didn't get to do it. But next time, I'm Portland, I'm coming for the Shanghai Tunnels.
Yeah, I wonder how many people – I mean, I don't know if they're so much haunted, but they're definitely an interesting piece of history because, I mean, I don't think they would like – a bunch of people died on there? Maybe they did. I don't know.
That's what it says. Right. Haunted by the aggrieved spirits of captives who died in the dark recesses beneath the city. I guess it's not just these – there's like just a whole bunch of underground tunnels beneath Portland.
That is super creepy, and there's probably tons of homeless people down there.
Oh, man. Unfortunately, Portland – just like LA and Vancouver and other big cities, so many homeless people, man. So many. You know, I have a homeless person story from there. I always help homeless people if I can. If I buy food, I buy the guy a cheeseburger. You know, give him a cheeseburger. I bought donuts. I guess in Portland, they're huge into donuts. It's a place called Voodoo Donuts. I had to wait for like fucking 40 minutes to get some donuts. They're pretty good. No big deal. Like just a donut. But I walk out, and obviously this homeless guy comes up, is like, hey man, I'm experiencing poverty, can I have a donut? And I went, sure, you can have one of my donuts. I just waited a half an hour for, no big deal. Gave him a donut, he eats it right in front of me, like fast, and I'm walking away and he runs after me. Hey man, can I have another donut? No.
It's like,
you don't get two donuts. Yeah. Go back, you probably get 100 donuts a day standing out there. You probably eat pretty good. Yeah. Well, this donut had bacon on it too, so he's even getting some protein.
Bacon donuts.
Bacon donuts.
Is it the maple bacon donuts? Had those before.
Yeah, it was a maple. Yeah, a step of maple bacon, and then it had actual piece of bacon built in right into the icing.
Ah.
I didn't get a try. I gave it to homeless guy. No big deal, but
I didn't get a try because I gave it to the homeless guy.
I was doing my part for society, Dan, helping out the homeless, doing my best. Solid B+. Okay, there's people in YouTube on the YouTube comments here. They want to call in, but they are scared. Don't be just fucking call in. Who cares?
Scared of what? Scared of it's spooky.
Scared of Dan.
Supposed to be scary.
Yeah, supposed to be. But until someone else calls, what else we got?
Let's see. Next place on our spooktacular tour of North America, we have the Moundsville Penitentiary in West Virginia. Take me home, country roads.
Oh yeah,
to Moundsville Penitentiary in West Virginia. This strange little place was built in it's not so much little, but it was built in 1876. It's a Gothic structure and it covers about 19 acres. And they say it resembles a medieval fortress because, you know, that's the place. That's what you want a fucking, you know, prison to look like, is a medieval fortress. They said at its peak, this place housed about 2,000 prisoners and all of their cells were about 5'7", 5'7". So the penitentiary was never designed to hold so many prisoners, like 2,000 prisoners, just like not even 1,000 prisoners. So you had prisoners who were living in cells, like three to a cell. You'd have one person on each side of the cell living on their, you know, little cots that were chained to the side of the walls. And then you'd have one mattress that would be over near the back towards the toilet. And you'd have three guys in there at one time. They say that they had recorded 94 men were executed on the premises. And during the 119 years that the prison was in operation, of the men that were killed, 85 were hanged and 9 were electrocuted.
Wow.
So they had their, you know, that quintessential electric chair, old Sparky. Got old Sparky.
Wasn't the electric chair like really
tours there? You can go visit, and there's a, you know, old Sparky is sitting there when you walk in, you know. Probably one of the worst ways to die.
It wasn't like the electric chair like really ineffective at killing people. It would just like,
oh, it's terrible.
Just melt your skin and burn you, but not actually kill you.
Yeah, it just cook you from the inside. It was not in any way humane to kill people that way. But I mean, it's just like, I don't even know. I have to look that up. I definitely have to look that up about, I've read about it before, about kind of the origins of the electric chair and how they brought it out. I mean, I really think the electric chair was just the, it was the kind of the campaign between AC and DC current, between Tesla and Edison, and like which way we were going to use, which current we were going to use to power everything. Essentially, you know, all the electrical things. And Edison was like, you know, if we use DC, right? And I think he hated DC. He was like, if you use direct current, you get things like the electric chair, and you can electric people, and it kills people. But, there are stories of him like electrocuting elephants and large animals in front of people to kind of.
No, he used to say that because it was AC current that he was trying to say was so dangerous, right?
Right. Okay. So yeah. Mix it up.
He would electrocute large animals to say like, we got to use DC current because this is what happened to you if you use AC current. And then Tesla's like, well, not if you use it correctly and don't pump 50,000 volts through your body. Exactly. It's probably fine.
So, you know, besides the electric chair, they used to have hangings. So I guess hangings are considered more humane than this. Like, yeah. But back then, hangings were public events. So you could, you know, you had nothing better to do on a sunny day. You could go to the penitentiary and go watch people get hanged. I guess that's what people did, you know. But that all changed the day that they tried to hang one Frank Hires. Apparently Hires was not exactly known for his neck musculature. And when they tried to hang him, it decapitated him.
It just ripped his head off?
Yeah,
clean off.
As the long drop method. You know, they put them up there on the gallows, and they drop them out in there, and it just like, I assume it just kind of like, the head just kind of came. Oh, I just wonder if it like came off and like popped off and like flew off, or did it like stay in the rope? Now I'm trying to picture that in my head, like how that would work. Oh God. Oh God. What if it landed in some lady's lap and just like, oh, no more public hanging.
That was the final straw. All right, guy lost his head. It's over. Yeah.
No more. You probably can't do that anymore. After that, there was no more public hangings. Probably a good idea. Probably a smart move.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but didn't most people die from hanging from – they just broke their neck, I think.
Right. I mean, that was the way that you were supposed to. Like, if you do the knot up right and you do everything right, it was supposed to kind of just snap your neck.
Yeah.
You know, you're not supposed to die of strangulation. Like, that was the worst way to go. Like,
yeah, I guess if you had the really strong neck and you did it and you didn't die, you'd just see the guy kicking around there for a minute.
Yeah.
That'd be, yeah. I searched for electric chair demonstration, but as you could guess, there is none on YouTube.
Good.
Good. I thought, like, there'd be, like, that dummy or something. Like, this is how you do it, and then you watch a dummy, like, light on fire, but... No, incorrect. Don't have it.
We don't have any videos of electrocuting dummies or whatever. I remember that scene from The Green Mile, man. Like, they just like that fucking asshole guy just doesn't put the sponge in the water.
Oh yeah.
Doesn't put it in. Oh God, that was like this. Oh God, that was such a terrible fucking. That was a fucked up scene. You're just like, oh Jesus. Next place, we head up to your neck of the woods in British Columbia, and we go to Craig Derrick Castle.
I've never heard of this place.
Never heard of this place?
No. Craig Derrick Castle.
Right, Craig Derrick Castle, they say, is one of Western Canada's finest examples of Victorian era Scottish baronial and Richardsonian Romanesque architecture. That's a lot.
Oh, shit. This is a crazy looking place.
The castle was built, they said, between 1887 and 1890 by the coal baron Robert Dunsmuir. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, actually, they'll teach you some about that in school, but I don't really remember.
Right. I mean, he was like the, I guess he was like the richest man.
Yeah.
Or one of
the something like that. Sounds right. Look at this place. Yeah. There's not too many places like this in BC because BC is like really only 200 years old.
All right. That's like if the Winchester house made sense, it would look like that. I guess Robert Dunsmuir, he didn't actually live to see the home completed. He actually died before it even finished. And his wife actually lived in the house. Like, I guess she lived in it until 1908, and they had no surviving family members that doesn't even make sense. Like, they said they had no surviving family members that could afford the upkeep of the house. And so, or as a private residence. So they had to, it had to become a military hospital. That's weird. Like, you're the richest man.
Must have squandered it. I don't know. I don't really know. Can't remember the story behind him, but
man, why don't you pay attention in history class? Sal?
It was mainly fur trade. Okay. Mainly fur trade. Explorers cruising down rivers and canoes. That was pretty much what Canadian history was.
That's all. They paddled down. They paddled down in canoes to burn the White House. That was Canadian history.
Yeah. That was still British technically, but yes, they did do that. Gave her a little quick burn down and ran away.
So the place is reported to be haunted. There have been at least a few reports of a ghostly woman in white who's usually cited, which is, you always get those kind of things. So people have heard, the sounds of children crying, and there's even sometimes a sound of a piano that plays by itself. The woman in white is reportedly supposed to be the wife of Robert Dunsmuir, so perhaps she's wandering around the house creepily.
Maybe.
No. Maybe. It's always like, what? It's always a woman in white. You know, that's always that's a funny question. Like, do you think there's always like the woman in white? You know,
yes, side of the road, you see them, and they're like, oh, the woman in white crossed the road, like, right. It's haunted. Yeah.
Is it because the colors are washed out because they're ghosts, or is it because like white is like the type of clothing they give you when you become a ghost?
You show up. All right. Yeah, I mean, all right. Ghost time. You get a white blouse.
Issue ghost wear. Okay. All right, you're a ghost now. Here's your white dress. Yeah, there you go.
I feel like it's gotta be the opposite. I think like if you're wearing like a light pink shirt, it becomes white because you're more transparent.
Christine?
I don't know. Good question.
I just wondered. Yeah, I wonder how that. I wonder how, why it's always the woman in white. Strange. But yeah, you need to go investigate that place ASAP. Check it out. I don't know where it is. I guess I don't know. It's in British Columbia. How far away from you is it? How far? Now, British Columbia is like a huge place. So, I mean, it could be 6 hours away.
It was Craig Derrick Castle, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's in Victoria on Vancouver Island. So actually close to Braden, where Braden's staying now. Oh, not far from Braden.
Go fucking ghost bust.
Yeah, it's probably like a 4 hour drive for Braden. Go down there.
We're putting Braden on assignment. Oh, maybe it's a podcast.
That's too far away. We could find something haunted here though. We got a couple. There's a place in Kelowna called Father Pandozzi's Mission, and it was back in the pioneer time, so a lot of people died in the wintertime.
and cannibalism.
Of course. What else are you gonna do? You're not gonna waste that person.
Gotta eat them.
Gotta eat them.
Gotta eat the butt meat.
No, but a lot of people say it's haunted. Maybe we'll do a pod week on location.
Ouija boards. On the site. Ouija board.
On site Ouija board. That would be all right, actually. Yeah, Dan, you got your clip on mic still?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, bring that. We'll do something.
Yes. So everyone, look forward to that. On site Ouija board at what was the place?
Father Pendozzi's Mission.
Oh, possibly.
We got a caller.
Father Pendozzi's mission. Sounds like a pizza place.
We got a caller. Last caller of this power hour.
Here we go.
Hello.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good, good, good. Welcome to the show. All
right. Welcome to Spooktober.
Who are we talking to?
Yeah. You're good. So this is Peach from Portland.
Oh, hey, Peach. I just missed you when I was down there.
Sorry we weren't able to link up when you were here.
No worries. Next time.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, let me go because let me know when you're coming because I want to go on that tour with you.
Yeah, it looked really cool, but yeah, it just didn't work out for me.
And I love your story, your homeless story, too, because that is like an exact, like, that's the epitome of Portland.
That's Portland in a nutshell. Snapshot of Portland experience.
pretty much.
Awesome.
Yeah, no. Well, I was calling, too, because when I was growing up in Lafayette, Indiana, my high school used to run this haunted mansion, and it was at this building next to my high school called the Pythian Home, which was, I think, originally built in like the early 1900s, and it was used as a place for like orphans and then eventually for like the members of this like Knights of Pythias or whatever. And over time, it kind of became like a retirement home. And as it went out of function, my school purchased it and started putting on this huge haunted mansion to the point where like we would make some six figures for our choir and band department. And all these weird things would happen, like as we were putting this on, like it would be like this huge production, like all the students would help do it. There'd be like role players, and we'd put on these tours, you know, every weekend in October. And I did this when I was a kid, and then when I was also in high school. And there was all these crazy stories about you know, people seeing things, and I had a few experiences myself. And one of the most notable things is one of the directors of the department, in like the room where they would have like all the money for the tours, they had this giant safe that was, you know, one of those giant floor safes that it takes, you know, a forklift to move, basically.
Yeah.
And wait, pretty face, much every like time
a,
he would
like
come
a face. What?
What?
A face?
Like one of like a safe. Safe, like a
oh, a
money
safe.
Safe.
I thought you said it was like a giant face. I was like, oh, okay.
So they had like this giant safe, and this, you know, this guy, like he had the only key to this room, and pretty much every time he would go up to the floor to see this, like to go put money in the safe would move across the room, and like he started having people go up with him to see this because it was so weird that like this safe that took, you know, would take 10 people to move would just be moving on its own.
Shit.
And it kind of became common knowledge that this would be just see, but this was just happening.
Wow.
So this giant, like you look 1-ton safe, they're moving it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Across the room, like move across the whole room.
It would, yes. And they would just like come upstairs and it'd be somewhere else.
That's the strongest motherfucking ghost I've ever heard of.
Like the Hulk ghost.
That is the Hulk.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And like, and then there's other stories. Like there was like a woman who killed herself in this one bathroom. And like, so this tour that you could go on, it was like, you know, it was like a haunted mansion. Like you know, there's people scaring you. So like part of that was the creepiness factor of it was the fact that it had this sordid history, but man, was it so freaky. And there was this one bathroom where this woman had killed herself in the bathtub. And like the different role players that we would assign, like that the choir department would assign to like work to scare people, no one would ever work in that room because people kept complaining about seeing things and hearing people and hearing this woman. And there were multiple times like people would be sent home because they were so scared that they couldn't even work in the room.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Totally justifiable.
Really like, don't want to work there. It was creepy. And, like, even just, like, as a kid, like, I was freaked up enough as it is. But then even getting older and still working there and going, man, it was a crazy place. You can look up pictures of the place. It was very freaky, and it's got kind of a weird path to it. But it was cool because it was literally across the street from my high school.
Spooky. Super spooky.
Super
I give that
spooky,
nine out of 10 spooks.
Nine out of 10 spooks for sure.
Just got the whole
thing. Yeah, that's all. That's all I got for you.
Wow. No, that's a good story. Thanks. Thanks for that one.
Yeah, for sure. Have a great day, guys.
Okay, Peach, we'll catch you next time in Portland.
Take care.
For sure. All right, bye.
Bye. Oh, man, some good creepy stories coming in tonight.
I think we're in. I can't imagine working in a place that you know is haunted.
That you know, like, the fucking Hulk lives there.
That you heavily suspect is haunted. Yeah. You know, I can't imagine just working, being like, I'm going to go to work today. It's fucking haunted. Like, not my idea of like the ideal work environment, but you know, whatever.
I would be joining those homeless people on the streets if I had to work there. 100%. Okay, we have one. We're gonna take one more caller. Brittany on the YouTube chat here has been humming and hawing for a while. She put her kids to bed. Here she is. Last call of the night for this spooky power hour.
Spooky.
Hello, welcome to Alien Theorizing.
Hi, this is Brittany.
Hey, Brittany, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well.
You finally got the kids to bed?
No, actually, my daughter's currently banging on my bedroom door.
Well, lock her out for 5 minutes and tell us a sweet, spooky story.
Tell us a spooky story.
Okay, I think I'm going to go with the one I just recently shared. But anyway, so there's this haunted house in St. Louis, where I live, and it's called the Lent Mansion. They do tours and all that, you know, host weddings, stuff like that. But it's haunted because of the family history there. Pretty much everyone killed themselves at some point in their lives. They used to own a brewery in St. Louis, all that stuff. So some friends of mine and I went on a tour. And long story short, because it's on Discord if you really want to read it, I saw, as I was walking through the house, an apparition of this guy who was dressed for the time period of the home. But he didn't have, I didn't see anything like at his knees, like that's kind of where it stopped. He was in a bathroom. He looked at me and he smirked, which, I mean, scared me so much. I started shaking, crying. Scariest thing I'd ever seen.
Holy
Before
shit.
The tour began, let me back up a little bit. Before the tour began, the lady giving the tour had used those like dowsing rods. Is that what they're called? I don't know. Anyway, she was using those to like speak to spirits and stuff in the house. And I was being an asshole, laughing about it, making jokes about it, not believing in it really. And she had said that this guy, Billy Limp, who lived in the house, who is apparently a spirit of the house, was going to reveal himself to someone in the room at some point in the night. And this tour was 3 hours long. So this had happened maybe an hour before I saw what I saw. So I see it. I start freaking out, crying. As soon as I look over, though, again in the bathroom, it's gone. My cousin, who was with me at the time, also saw something, and he was ready to get out of the house. But the tour is continuing. We go up to this room in the attic where they had, there was a little boy who lived in the family. I'm not sure exactly what was wrong with him, but something where they, you know, I guess back in those times, they pretty much locked kids away. He would look out his window at night or every day and like watch these kids play, you know, sad kid because he couldn't play with the other kids. That room has a lot of activity in it. So the tour guide brings us in there, turns off all the lights. And this is right after I saw what I saw. So I'm still freaking out. With all the lights off, there's a window in the room and you could see a little bit of light from like the street lights outside, but not much. It was still pretty dark. But you could see well enough to see like there was a shadow figure standing in the doorway of the room. And she pointed it out. So of course, everyone in the tour, maybe 20 or 30 people in the room, look over at the doorway. They all see it, or at least everyone's saying they see it. It comes in and comes straight towards me I was standing in between my boyfriend and my brother, and it was almost like trying to get between me and my boyfriend, who was holding me, and I'm crying hysterically at this point. And the shadow, you could see through it, but you could see that it was dark. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but it was really cold. So then I let go of my boyfriend and kind of turned around into my brother's arms, not knowing what to do. And this lady, the tour guide, was just letting this go on. Other people started freaking out in the room. Some lady was like begging her to turn on the lights. But before she did, we saw a couple dark shadows. I'll just put it that way. It's a long story. So she turns on the lights. We go downstairs, and she comes up to me. At this point, she kind of told everyone on the tour, you had free roam of the house. You could go back to any room we had seen, do whatever you want for the next hour or so. And she comes up to me after she makes that announcement and wants to know more in detail, like what I saw in the bathroom. So I'm telling her and I'm describing it to her and I'm asking her a million questions, you know, like, is this fake? Tell me this is fake. Tell me this is real. Tell me this is fake. I don't want this to be real. All this stuff. And she's like, no. She goes, actually, I want to show you something. And she pulls out this book, and it's an old photo album that the tour has of all of the family members from the Wendt family. And she opens it to Billy Wendt's page. Or no, she actually asked me there's a group photo, which one, if it looked like any of them, and I pointed to one who it looked exactly like. She turns to his page and shows me more photos of him, and I was like, yeah, that's who I freaking saw. And she says, well, that's actually the spirit I was talking to. Went on, told me more information about him, told me that he's actually an evil spirit, all kinds of stuff like this, told me that I should request that he leave me alone and not attach himself to me before we leave. So I go on with the tour. My friends and I were going to go to a local 24-hour diner afterwards, and it was called Uncle Bill's. So of course, I'm like talking to the spirit before I leave the house. And instead of saying, please don't come home with me, basically, I was like, hey, do you want to go to this diner called Uncle Bill's because your name is Billy Wendt? And, you know, making a joke because that's just how I am. So we go to the diner, I go home, and I go to bed. I wake up in the middle of the night and I look at my phone and it said 3:33 in the morning. And I woke up suddenly, like, but almost in a panic that it's a really hard feeling to describe. But anyway, after I look at my phone that was on my nightstand, I put it back down and I look up, and in the corner of my room, I see Billy Wendt again. But this time he had legs and all the way down to his feet. And he's like walking, floating, like towards me. And I scream. I actually fall out of my bed and I hit my head on my nightstand. I sit up to grab my cell phone. And as soon as I look at it, the time said 3:34 in the morning. And I look up and it was gone. So I get up and I actually got my dad's bed and slept with him for like 2 weeks in my parents' room. For the rest of that, but yeah, that's that story.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
No.
Don't mess around with ghosts.
Don't fuck around with ghosts.
Yeah, no.
Don't tell them to come home with you.
Yeah, they will follow your ass home.
The fact that the tour guide had to like remind you to do that, or that they've had people who have experienced something similar to that, they have to like, yeah, don't tell it the, you should definitely request that it doesn't follow you home. It's like, oh, okay. It's happened enough times that they have to tell people to do that.
Crazy.
Well, and like, I obviously, everyone knows I'm really nervous like public speaking. So I know I've missed a lot of details, but I'm trying to get short. If anyone wants to read more about it, I did share it on your Discord page. But yeah, the lady in the beginning, she was really serious about all this stuff. And I had had paranormal experiences before, but I was definitely being an asshole and just joking around with my friends, like, totally not. I just thought it was like a fake thing. I definitely thought it was a fake thing going into it. And I don't watch scary movies. I don't really like creepy stuff anyway. I was kind of dragged there in the first place. And that's my coping mechanism, is just to laugh about everything. So yeah, I felt like whenever she was telling me at the end, because she did say that in the beginning to like make sure you tell the spirit it can't leave with you. I thought when she repeated it to me, she was, I don't know. I thought she was kind of making a joke, but clearly she wasn't. Or I just have really terrifying nightmares, maybe. I don't know. But I don't think that was the case.
Well, Brittany, thanks for sharing that story. I read your text account, and you did a pretty good job of summing it up. So
yeah, did a good job. Okay, I thought it was really good. Did a good job telling a spooky story on the Spooktober.
Brittany, you're one of our more active people on Patreon. We appreciate the support. And if anyone wants to read her text account, you can join us on Patreon, and you can find it in the fan stories of our Discord server. Brittany, we're gonna end this power hour with your awesome story. But we're going to talk again soon, I'm sure. You got a whole bunch more stories.
All right, y'all have a good night.
Bye, Brittany.
Bye.
Man, some good ghost stories tonight.
Ooh, that was 10 out of 10 spooks.
10 out of 10 spooks, man. If the ghost follows you home, I mean, what are you going
to
do?
Are you just like, I'm a skeptical person. I'm a powerfully skeptical person. But if they're like, you should tell them not to come home with you, and I'd be like, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Just, you know, like, what? Even if you're skeptical, just be safe.
Why not?
What's the worst that could happen?
Cost you nothing to be like, "Gabe, don't come home with me. Don't want no ghosts in my house." I have no problem saying that.
Yeah, definitely not. Dan, let's end this power hour. I got to go to Thanksgiving dinner. My parents are
getting denim turkey is getting cold.
Yes. My denim turkey is getting cold. We're not going to do any space news. We're going to save our new Patreons for next week when we get the crew back together. But if this is your first time listening to us or watching us, follow us anywhere on social media, alientheorist.com, or I don't know, Dan, anything to plug?
Nope, not really anything to plug. I think we're good.
There you go.
Thanks for joining us on this spooky Spooktober Power Hour.
We're going to have a couple more weeks of spooky shit for October, and then pod week, mid-November. It's going to be fucking awesome. Dan will be live in the studio for the very first time.
We'll be fine.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Thanks for supporting the show. And we'll catch you on the next one. Keep those eyes on the skies. Peace out.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.